Now it's time for the Southern Cross.
Today in Southern Cross, I am talking to AUT Pacific Media Centre's reporter, Rahul Bhattarai, and Centre's director, Professor David Robey. We talk about the Centre's news stories and issues being covered. Topics include the retrial of two politicians found guilty of sedition in Fiji, massive increases in Nepalese immigrants, and Manan volcanic activity affecting the life of an island full of people. So let's start. Rahul, could you explain why the two politicians who were found guilty by the magistrate now have been in retrial because of a high court judge found the lower court ruling there was a miscarriage of justice?
Oh yes, absolutely. Now the magistrate Deepika Prakash had sentenced these two politicians for about 2.5 years of imprisonment. She reckons that they were the ones who were involved in sedition over political graffiti. Mm. However, the High Court, Fiji High Court Justice Vincent Pereira, reckons that there isn't enough proof to sentence those two guys for imprisonment. So what he has done is he has sort of nullified the magistrate's sentencing, and he has given them the opportunity for retrial. And the next hearing is on 24th of September. Now, these two politicians, Mozese Bulitavu is from Social Democratic Republic Party, and Jagat Karunaratne is from Fiji United Freedom Party's president. Now, also, it's sort of irony because Fiji is trying to hold their next election soon, but we do not have the date. So given that this all has happened just around the corner of the new election, it is rather sort of inconvenient, to say the least.
Also, like sedition is really, it's an old-style crime created by the colonial governments.
Yes.
And it's ironical that it's still there in the books in Fiji.
Still affecting people quite seriously.
Basically gagging people. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So do we have anything else to add on that story there, Rahul?
Well, no, not at this stage. But yes, I don't think there's a huge case in these guys. In my opinion, they should be pretty safe.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, do you think that the majority of people there also believe that as well?
Well, they do not have solid proof to charge them or penalise them in any way, you see. So,
you'd hope that they'll be fine.
Yes.
There has also been a huge increase in the Nepalese community in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Look, now, on 2013, there were 1,600 Nepalese people in New Zealand. And in 2018, 5 years later, that number has gone to 17,000, which is about 1,000% increase.
My goodness.
In the population.
Wow.
Yes. And 60% of those people are international students who come here either just for work purposes, or majority of them, they come here to convert their student visa into a long-term visas like work permit or PR or even citizenship eventually.
Do you know where the majority of people are staying? Are they staying up north or are they headed down south?
9,000 of them are in Auckland. The rest are spread across New Zealand.
Country. Oh.
And most of them are especially located where there are a lot of farming opportunities like kiwi fruits and apple picking and so forth. That's still the job they get. And also one thing that I think I should mention is that out of 60% of the international students that we have, majority of them, they come here to study hospitality in the hope of converting their student visa into a PR or something else, long-term residence.
Yeah.
And because New Zealand has the threshold of people needing to have certain income threshold before they are even eligible to apply for those kind of visas. Now, problem with these students are 60% of them are international. Majority of them, after graduating from hospitality degree, they would not get more than minimum wages.
Yes.
So which
is the demand for hospitality that high as well? Is that why they're going into hospitality? Do you know?
Well, I guess so. That could be one of the reasons. But also the other reason is it could be easy to get a visa to come here to study hospitality because I'm in New Zealand. It's a tourism country. We've got a lot of tourists here. So that could be one thing.
But yes, the pay is not particularly good in hospitality.
Yeah, so so pay isn't good. They are on minimum pay, and if they want to convert their visa into a long-term resident visas, they have no choice but to go back home, because with minimum pay, they're not going to make that 60,000 threshold that government has set. Even though the rule has changed from 1 year to 3 years now, that does not mean anything to these guys. So yeah. I'm not too sure what the government is trying to do here. Look, sincerely do not know. Yeah.
So does that mean that all those people, because obviously there's been a huge increase of people, that the majority of them will be here, study here, and then won't be able to stay and will just leave? Is that sort of
That's what's been happening. And some of them are fortunate enough because they get better pay because of the employer promotion and so forth. So I do know a few people who have managed to apply for PR and they're on the process. It looks very good for them. But few people that I spoke 2 days ago, they had to leave. Wow. And that's been going on as well.
So that must be really hard.
Yeah, they spend like hundreds and thousands of rupees converted into dollars is not very much. So that's their life saving they're breaking into, and having to go back is not ideal situation for them. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Rahul.
Not a problem. Thank you so much.
Now with David, what is the situation like? What's the situation like in Manam? Could you give us an in-depth insight of their situation?
All right. Yes. Well, there are about 2,000 people actually live on the island at the moment. It's a pretty remote place. Like, it's off the coast of northern part of Papua New Guinea, off Manam.
Oh, right. Yes.
About 15 k's off the coast, and it's only a little island, about 83 square kilometres and so on.
Wow.
But it's had a history of volcanic eruptions over a number of years now. And back in 1996, 13 people died. Then in 2004, the population then on the island was around about 10,000.
Wow.
And most of the people were evacuated at that time. But quite a few actually sort of went back to the island, so roughly about 2,000 living there at the moment. And so they're being evacuated now. The government has sent up two warships and sent up an engineering battalion and so on.
Where are they taking them to?
Well, they'll take them to the coast.
But
this is where it's a really hard luck story as well, because the people that were evacuated before in 2004, when they were taken to the mainland, they're actually living in three refugee camps, internal refugee camps, and in poverty and so on. So nobody really cares about them.
They'll be safe.
And that's we forget about them.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
but so is that the worry that the people being evacuated now will end up in a similar situation?
Well, yes, but the first thing is they want to get off the island.
Yeah, don't want to say there. Yeah,
when a disaster like this happens at the weekend, which is what the eruption actually started on Saturday morning, the media closes. But essentially, we've got two daily newspapers, but they only publish Monday to Friday, and so much of the media sort of shuts down over the weekend, let alone the government and so on. So it's actually been quite hard to sort of get much information about what's really happening, and we depend a lot on social media to fill the gaps that the mainstream media don't have. You know, people
because it shuts down.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh,
people
no.
like Scott Wade, who's he's deputy editor on MTV News and based in Lae, and he runs his own blog, My Land, My Country, and it's a tremendous outlet. For
yeah,
all
an
sorts
asset
of information.
Because you can understand. Yeah,
and so
know
he
what's
had the
going
breaking
on.
Story, you know, with the images and even video clips and so on that various people sent to him by social media. So that's how we pick up on a story like
this. Well, that's a great facet of social media, isn't it? So thank you so much today, guys. It's been great.
Great. And you always find out more about these stories on Asia Pacific Report. NZ, definitely go there.
Perfect. Thanks. Thank you so much.
That was the Southern Cross.